Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Take that smoke out of all of me.
when you still care. Will you be there in my trials and my tribulations, through our doubts and frustrations, in my violence, in my turbulence, through my fear and my confession, in my anguish and my pain, through my joy and my sorrow, in the promise of another tomorrow, I'll never let you part.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music and writing. Mr. Matthew Knowles, I want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, good morning, Carrie. You know, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have done a whole lot of entrepreneurial types of ventures. And one is for 18 years, I co-owned and co-managed the number one hair salon in Houston for a number of years called Headliners Hair Salon.
Is that really? Well, we
I actually published a hairstyling book, Gary, called Hair International back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, we have got to talk about that. We've got to figure out how you and I should have said music and the literary world on top of everything else. But how in the world did you get from the hair industry into the music industry, or are they kind of like one and the same, as a lot of folks believe?
Well, for me, you know, I was in corporate America, and Tina, my former wife. I asked her one day what was her passion, and she said her passion was doing hair and making people beautiful. And I said, why don't you go to school, and when you finish school, we'll open a hair salon. And that's what we did. And that hair salon, we used one of the principles that I had learned, because I was selling diagnostic imaging to the medical. And I kind of use, when you go to a doctor's office, they ask you, you know, fill out all these forms, you know, why are you here, tell us your history, and then the nurse comes and takes you to the room, and then she weighs you and takes your temperature and asks you why you're there and do your blood pressure. And then a doctor comes, and he looks at that on the door before he walks in. He looks at your patient history and why you're there. What your vitals are, and he's made a decision right there what you need. He comes see you, and then when he finishes, which is the quickest part of it, is when you see the doctor, he leaves, and then he writes a prescription. And I use that same concept in our hair salon, exactly, having many assistants. The stylist never left the chair, and I thought it was malpractice if a licensed cosmetologist did not continue and complete the service. And that service is home products for the customer. And so maintenance, home maintenance.
Like, yeah,
so that was our philosophy at Headliners.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you helped to add a whole different layer to this today. And we're so excited about it. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, along the line, so the music, how did you get into producing music? I understand that you had, you know, I call it that whole passion for excellence and working for others and so forth and having that entrepreneurial mindset. But is that what kind of led you into music? How did you get into the production of music and that whole aspect?
Well, the production of it, you know, that's as an executive producer, you oversee everything from the studio, the travel, all of the paperwork that's involved, and also occasionally I had the opportunity to co-write Survivor and a couple of other songs with Destiny's Child, and you get into just over time you. And I've been in this field for 24 years now, and you pick up every aspect of it, every aspect of it. And if you're passionate and you love it, then you want to learn every aspect of it. And that's what passion does. And, you know, that's my new book, DNA of Achievers, you know, the 10 traits. The first one is passion. You know, how people doing who's listening right now, are they doing what they're passionate about? Are they doing it for money? It's a big difference.
Mm. Well, you know what? Let's talk about the DNA of Achievers and the 10 traits. We're not going to give all the traits because I'm going to do like Barbara Walters. We learn from the best. Don't give any. Don't give the top trait just yet. We're going to save that for the book. We want you to pick up this book. It's the DNA of Achievers. Now, the 10 traits of highly successful professionals, you mentioned passion. What are some of the, you know, how do folks recognize their passion? We do tell them that. We tell everyone, you know, pursue your passion. But how do you know what your passion is? You have any tips for that?
It's a very simple step. What is that one thing? And the key word here, Carrie, is one thing. Because the mistake most people make is they all over the place. They love this, they love hair, they love fashion, they love makeup, they love da-da-da. You know, that one thing that you can become really, really good and maybe even become great if you focused. So what is that one thing that energizes you, excites you, that you go to bed at night thinking about, wake up in the morning, can't wait to do it? And sometimes it's something that nobody even knows because you're embarrassed or ashamed to say, this is really my passion. And I tell everybody, I don't care what that one thing is. If you strive towards getting that one thing right, it will change your life because if you are passionate about something, then it coexists with work ethics. Because when you are passionate, you don't work. You have fun all day doing what you love. That's why I really focus in on passion. What is that one thing that you just excites you? You can just go running out the door right now because it makes you, gives you that much joy and fulfillment inside.
We love that. Now, I do have to ask you, what's that one passion thing for you, Matthew Knowles?
Educate and motivate in the areas of entrepreneurship and music business. I've done it all my life, educate and motivate.
Wow. Well, I have to just let everybody know, you launched one of the most successful, I think it is the top successful female group of all time, Destiny's Child, and award-winning, and you've just done so much. And we're just trying to find out what is it that has created this inside of you. I think that this book, The DNA of Achievers, will tell us a little bit about that. I really do. I know that passion is one of the first traits that you mentioned. But what are some of the other traits that we should really look out for in The DNA of Achievers?
Well, I talk briefly about work ethics because they coexist. You can't have one without the other. You can't have work ethics unless you're passionate about something. And because if you're not passionate, you don't want to, you hate doing it. You know, how many people wake up and hate going to work every day?
Well, that's kind of like majority of the folks. I think it's very few.
God bless them.
God
bless them because I've been very fortunate. Seldom. I have, my early days, Goodyear, when I used to work at Goodyear in the summer, when I was a young teenager, I was determined to do the job, but I didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was determined, but it's a certain joy you get of waking up, going to do what you love. Yesterday, I started at 7 o'clock, Carrie, and I in the morning. I finished at 11 o'clock last night, And wow. I work normally 7 days a week. I go to the office on the weekends or do a ton of emails. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yes.
I love what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. That is really, I have to tell you something. We are very honored to have you on the show. And something like this is so critical and important. But I have to go back a little bit. I actually love what you wrote because I kind of live by this myself. You know, back when you were working in, I call it like for corporate kind of, you were doing like the sales and, you know, that to me sounds like project management. And when you have so much that you're in charge of and all of that, and you were so successful, even in sales. And I say, it just reminds me of myself. I think when you are doing something, like you said, that you are passionate about, even if you're working for others and you're really happy about what you're doing, you know, it's automatically like a success, so to speak. And I just think that you don't necessarily always have to be an entrepreneur if that's not what you're, you know, in your spirit to do or whatever the case may be. But if you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do and you're passionate about and you love it, you know, you can make it into a success and you can feel that success. And I think this was, you know, so I read that line and I thought it was outstanding, you know, when you were working for the other company and, you know, you felt like an entrepreneur is what I'm driving at.
No. Kerry, I teach, one of the courses I teach at Texas Southern University is entrepreneurship in the School of Business. And the first thing that I teach, Gary, is the biggest mistake and error that I think we make is we think we get confused entrepreneurship and owning a business. They are two different things. Entrepreneurship is a belief. It's a belief. It's a certain makeup. It's like a DNA. It's people that take risk. It's people that are highly energized. It's people that come up with ideas. That's entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people that own businesses that are
not
business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. That's a lot of people that work for other people and are employees, but they are entrepreneurs in how they think, how they in a day operate. So please don't get that confused.
Okay, that is a very good point. And something that I absolutely need to bear in mind as well. Now, I have to say, and we're gonna definitely get on with some of these wonderful traits. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DNA of Achievers. But, folks, if you've just joined me, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and today we have a very special guest coming to us. It's Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, he has written a new book called The DNA of Achievers, and it's 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. So this is something that we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about. But also, Matthew, I want to get into some of your current projects, some of the things that you're working on these days and some of the plans that you have.
Well, Kerry, my passion has always been, even as a sales rep, when we truly think about what a salesperson do, they educate somebody on the product that they're selling, and
right.
they motivate them to buy it. And so what I've been doing most of my life is my passion, educating and motivating. And I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a number of seminars around the country. November the 14th, I'm in Macon, Georgia. November the 15th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, a seminar that's called The Entertainment Industry, How Do I Get In? And these seminars are all-day seminar, and they're for recording artists, singers, managers, producers, songwriters, videographers, choreographers, hairstylists. How about that? Why would a hairstylist want to go to one of these conventions? Seminars, because it's 300 people in a room, and most of them want to get in the entertainment industry, and some of them hopefully will be successful. And guess what?
Love it.
They're
going to
need a hairstylist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, tell us more. So this seminar, the ones that are coming up around the 14th and 15th of November, how do we get involved with that?
You can go to Eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com.
Repeat that one more time. Com,
Gary.
Okay.
Eventbrite.com. Again, that's the entertainment industry. How do I get in? You know what, Carrie? I have to tell you, man, you reminded me out of all the seminars, I mean, all of the interviews I've done on the DNA of Achievers,
yes.
I've never, and out of all the things I've talked about, the clothing line, Darion, House of Darion, you know, headliners and Hair International, I seldom talk about, and I did that 18 years. Did you know, and for folks listening, they probably remember in the 90s that oversized hairstyling book. We had 3 volumes of it. One day,
really?
Carrie, I had to make the decision if I was going to be in the hair publishing book business or be in the music business. And I had to make that decision. It was I remember the day I had to decide. And
wow.
I had an office, and on the door it said Hair International Publication, and on the door it said Music World Entertainment. And
wow.
I had to make that decision. I used to go all over the country to all of those hair shows. And
oh,
I had,
to Prana Brothers and all those big hair shows and all
Prana
of that.
Prana Brothers, all of them. I had manuals. I was educating back then. I had a manual called How to Open Your Own Hair Salon. I had an educational manual.
I feel like
called,
I'm talking to someone that is amazing.
I had a manual called How to Build a Client Base, and then I had an appointment book that I created. And so some folks that are listening remember that Hair International publication.
So you should feel at home here at Hair Radio. That's exactly the kinds of wonderful things that we do and bring to the, you know, to the beauty world. So I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. I want any of those copies that you have lying around, you let us know. We're happy to see them. And if you ever decide to, you know, to add on to this wonderful book that you have out now, again, The DNA of Achievers, and you decide to do something in the hair and beauty way, you make sure and look us up at Hair Radio. We would love to speak to you about that.
I guarantee you, Carrie, I guarantee your listeners, they pick up that book, and they can go right now to Amazon or Apple and get the e-book. The hardback will be in stores in the next 30 days, but I guarantee you, I give you money back after you read that book, The DNA of Achievers. And after every chapter, there's a work exercise. I actually, you know, that college professor comes out. I promise you, buy that book and you'll become better at what you're doing in the hair industry. Again, I did the industry for 18 years. And our first $1 million, Carrie, was made in 1984 in Houston, Texas, with Headliners Hair Salon.
And that was before we got to know you in the record producing world.
1984, Carrie. 1984.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's headline.
Who knew we were going to be talking about this, man?
You know what? This is just amazing. And I'm just blown away. I really am. But I have to ask you, there was one of the traits that I saw, and I said, well, hold it, I have got to ask Matthew about this. I want to talk about learning from your failure, too, because I believe in that, but I want to ask you what's your take on it. But what does talk-to-do ratio mean? I couldn't figure that out. What is talk-to-do ratio? And then I want to get into more of this. But what's talk-to-do ratio?
Well, Gary, you're in the industry that there's quite a bit of that, just like in the music industry, that people just talk about what they're going to do, the follow-up. They have an idea, they're going to follow up, or they're going to meet with you, or they're going to call you, and they're going to, and then you never hear from them.
Right,
you never
hear
a word from them.
Right.
And those two professions really do a lot of talk to do. And so it's measuring, Gary, the percentage of what we say we're going to do versus what we end up doing. That's what
the
it
execution.
Is, measuring what we say we're going to do versus the percentage of the time we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Wow.
And you find that successful people, if they say they're going to do something, you know, we had an interview at a certain time. You were there waiting. I was there 3 minutes before the time, not after the time we said. We both were there like we said we were going to do.
That's right.
And that's talk to do ratio, high percentage of doing what we say we're going to do. It's as simple
wow.
as that.
I love it. And, of course, one of the biggest lessons, and I want to certainly say some for the folks who pick up this book called The DNA of Achievers, but it's the learning from failure. We cannot not talk about that. How, Matthew, what do you say to folks who need to learn from their failure, or how do you learn from your failure? That's first.
Well, we all, Kerry, we're going to have failures. We're going to make mistakes. When we take risk, sometimes we make mistakes. Just in life's own terms, we make mistakes and we have failures. But I basically like to keep life real simple. In this book, I try to keep it real simple, and I try to keep it real. I keep it real. And you know, often we don't realize that mistakes are a reason and an opportunity for us to even become better, better at what we do, better as people. So it's an opportunity, but not a reason to quit. I like to say that mistakes and failures are an opportunity to grow, not a reason to quit. And if we haven't walked through some things, we can't grow. I could never tell you how to be the best, I don't know, pilot, airplane pilot. If maybe you had never tried to fly a plane, and maybe during your training, maybe you learned some things the hard way that maybe you don't ever want to do it that way. Maybe you don't want to fly into a storm. Maybe that ride got so bumpy and got so scary that you thought it was going to crash. And so you learn, hey, if there's a storm, I'm not going to fly in it. I had that one experience. It taught me I don't want to do that. And so we have to walk through this stuff sometimes. And we have to grow from it. But what I find is a lot of people, they're almost there, Kerry, of being successful.
Yes.
They make a mistake or have a failure, and then they quit. They quit
but
right
there,
before it's going to happen.
Right before. But you've always heard that too, I'm sure, where they say, oh, you was just about to make it, and then, you know, you have a big, like, it always seems like some catastrophe happens or something really, like, I don't know, some folks say it's a test, that if you make it through that, then you'll be successful. It's really, it's a challenge sometimes. I have to actually say, being an entrepreneur myself, it can feel like a challenge sometimes. So, you know, this is really nice. I appreciate you creating a book like this.
Look, Kerry, it is a challenge. But I have such a different approach. When it gets tough, that's when I gear up. That's when I'm ready.
That's when you get real.
Like, I don't I put my foot on the gas when there's trouble. I don't, like, let up and say, oh, and start feeling sorry for myself.
Right, and start.
Oh, poor pity me. That's not what successful people do, man.
That's right.
They said, okay, only person who's going to help me get through this is me and some good people around me that I can trust and believe in. And I'm going to get through it. First, you got to believe it.
Wow. This is amazing. You have to believe. I guess it goes back to, like you said, the passion, the work ethics, but there is one other element that we probably have to at least address, and that's the vision. You got to be someone who can actually see it, I think.
And that vision is just, again, I like to keep it simple. It's having an idea and thinking the idea all the way through to execution of the idea that it becomes a real product. And so most people have vision, and the mistake that we often make is we go running out, we have this idea, and we go running out before we thought it all the way through, and we ask a friend or someone who we think is a friend, and we say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, man, that ain't going to ever work. Well, maybe you should think it all the way through. And so when you go to your friend, you don't ask them what they think. You say to your friend, you know what, friend, I need you to, this is my idea. I need you to invest $100 in this idea. Not I'm going to ask you what you think about it, because I'm going to explain it all the way through. And I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for your help versus your opinion. That's what a true visionary does.
Wow. I love it. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our very, very special guest today, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, you guys know him. He's an award-winning executive producer in the music world, and he's also an author of this new book called The DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Now, we did not indicate number one yet. We're not going to give number one. I don't want to give that over the air, Matthew. We want folks to go and certainly order this book. As you say, you can get it from Amazon. We just want to promote it and put it out there. It's something that obviously, especially our fan base, our wonderful listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, are very much entrepreneurs and would be able to gain something from this. So this is very, very exciting. Hey, I just want to turn back to music for one quick moment. I have one of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, when they found out you were coming to the show, they wrote in and they sent a question. And they said, and I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I would have thought of this, but have you ever, Matthew, thought of putting together a boy band or a male group or a male version of it? What do you say to something like that?
Well, you know, I'm working with a girl group. It just seems as though my magic is with girl groups. I was fortunate to work with Trinity 5-7 at Gospel, and they, similar to Destiny's Child and pop and R&B and Gospel, Trinity 5-7 is the number one selling female trio of all time in Gospel. And so I have a female trio that I'm working with in hip-hop, two rappers and a female vocalist. Their name is Blush Music. I have to put emphasis on blush because it's spelled B-L-U-S-H-H-H.
All right.
And you will hear about these young ladies very, very soon in the next 3 to 5 months. And so that's what I'm working with. I had worked once with a boy band, but that's a different set of dynamics.
It's a whole different set.
I love the imaging part also that happens on the female side, and the approach for marketing is a lot different. And so I enjoy that. It's the most difficult of all is working with a female group because you have a lot of psychological dynamics that falls into play, as well as the imaging, as well as the music matching. And so that's a challenge, and I love challenges. So I enjoy that.
Well, it sounds like you can tie the success of something like that, and especially your projects, back to something like wonderful traits.
But, Gary, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I really hadn't talked about the hair industry. And those guys set up this interview because I seldom do I talk about. There were some great years, some fun years owning that hair salon. And then one day we called a meeting. Tina called a meeting, and no one knew what she was going to do. 18 years into the business, and one stylist who was an assistant for like 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, and he was he wasn't gifted with the skill of being a hairstylist. He had to develop and work on it. and he came to work early, and he stayed late, and she called this meeting, and he had been with the company 10 years, and she gave him Headliner's Hair Salon in Houston, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house,
wow,
in the room when she gave this stylist the business, because he was dedicated, he was passionate. And he came early, and he, again, he stayed late. And those are the formulas of greatness, people who come early and stay late. And she rewarded him for that. But I have to run. I see they're knocking on the door, and
well,
I got to get going now.
I just want to say thank you. I was so wrapped with that story. That's a great story. Listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I do appreciate it. We have to pick up this book,
right,
The DNA of Achievers, and we'll stay in touch, and we want you to come back one day and bring us
all
one
right,
of
I would love to do that.
Talent.
Thank you so much. And
as women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. She's actually a new addition to the lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is my honor to welcome Monika. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie.
Yes. So I want us to just kind of jump right on in to all the fray here. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Monika. We know that you're coming to our daily broadcast here, but tell us why.
Well, I feel like it's a big need for people to kind of hear from the stylist and their point of view and, you know, our experiences, because sometimes people just look at us a certain way as far as we have all the answers. But to be able to get the public's point of view is phenomenal. And I've been in the industry for, I guess, a little over 22 years. Don't try to guess my age. But a little over 22 years.
I was trying to add. Couldn't do it fast enough.
And I actually got in the industry on an accident.
Really?
And yes, it's a funny story. I'm an Air Force veteran.
Awesome.
And I was
thank you
stationed
for your service.
In Japan. Thank you. I was stationed in Japan, and so I was doing my hair. Honey, I kept that hair done every week. And people were like, so who's doing your hair? And I'm like, well, I had a routine. I get off work on Friday, I do my hair, and, you know, that's what it is. And so I ended up with a clientele, and I discovered that not only did I have blessed hands, that I loved what I did. And so when I got out of the service, I moved back home to Chicago, where I'm born and raised. And I looked into beauty school, and I attended Dudley University, Chicago.
Dudley.
Campus.
Yay for Dudley. We love Dudley. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yes. I love Dudley, too. They gave me a phenomenal foundation as far as education and professionalism.
Yes.
They really instilled
they
in us
the whole
what
industry.
It is. They yes. do, yeah. Like, they really instilled in us what it is to be a
yes.
hair care professional.
Yes, absolutely.
And so from there, I've done a lot of traveling. Like I said, I went to school in Chicago, and then I moved to Dallas, Texas. And then I moved back to Chicago, then to Atlanta, and I'm actually back in Dallas now.
Oh,
and with
my.
That has allowed me to interact with so many different people in the industry and out of the industry, and it really did is just flourish my love and my passion for what I do. And in that journey, I have I learned that right now we have a serious epidemic of hair loss, extreme hair loss. Lots of women out here with medical issues that are leading to extreme and severe hair loss. And so I've been focusing and directing my career in that direction, being able to cater to those women and help them regain their self-confidence.
Exactly. And I speak to that as well in the sense that, you know, there are a lot of alopecia organizations out there, but there really isn't one that addresses the needs, especially for women of color. I've noticed in the community who deal with traction alopecia. I don't see enough about it. The organizations that I've encountered, who've actually been on my show as well, they deal with every other alopecia. You know, there are many. They deal with every other alopecia, but they don't address or even acknowledge, from what I've found, the issue that face a lot of women of color. And so, yes, it could be argued, of course, that it's one that is, you know, totally avoidable and all of that. But I love the stylists like yourself who come on the show and say, listen, this is a real thing, and you are going to help those women out there with it. And I'm blown away. So, Monica, wonderful, wonderful, great stuff. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
so you. Now you are out there in the DFW, I call it, that's the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Have you found, and you've been, you know, especially through your travels to Japan and being a servicewoman and doing all, a service person, I should say, and doing all these amazing things and not being afraid to travel. See, that's the other thing, and I love that about you, not being afraid to go and just replant yourself and kind of I love that. So where did that come from? What was that germ inside of you that says don't be afraid of change?
You know what, Carrie? I don't know. I think the biggest thing is I might bore easily. I'm unsure. But I love it, and it's exciting. Like I said, no matter where I go. I easily connect with people. So now that I'm trying to root here in Dallas this time. I'm trying to be still, but I still have friends and connections in all of those other areas. I try to stay connected with everybody. So I don't know. I just like change and hey, what's that over there? I think it's the inquisitive part of me.
Well, I'm loving it, and you talk about, you know, remaining connected. That's what this show is all about. I'm here in New York. Of course, everybody knows I'm based out of Brooklyn, New York, and I'm from Philly. So shout out to all my Philly family members and all that. But I also have to say, you're out in Dallas area. And our listeners, we have tons of listeners between us, as well as folks who are all over the world, literally. So we have to. So the wonderful thing is that everybody can stay connected. When you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, you can kind of say hi to the family. You can say hi to the friends wherever they are, literally. You know, that's the wonderful thing. And that's kind of the reason I brought the show to the Internet, because we started in terrestrial radio, as you might be aware, on AM and FM in different markets. But this has been just a worldwide movement. So I wanted to ask you, Monica, what is it with the business? You've been out there, I think, 22 years. I mean, that's a long time in the hair business. Have you noticed any changes? I mean, is it the same business and industry that you started that's reflected today, or is it a little bit different?
Oh, my God, Carrie, it's funny that you say that. I feel like it has changed. It's changed drastically, and when I say it's changed, I think the mentality of the new stylists and barbers is totally different. So basically the integrity and the morality of the industry has changed. So they don't even approach the industry like we did. And when I say that, more so like they're looking at it more like a hustle. When we came in, we were looking at it more as a career. And for that alone, it makes a huge shift in the industry. Even small things like supporting one another, sharing information, even down to using professional products as opposed to just using what you can get your hands on, and just listening to the client and how they feel in regards to how their experience today is much different than it was in latter years. It's like, wow, what do we do? How do we connect? How do we get their attention and say, hey, let's try to get back to what it used to be, because sometimes if it ain't broke, don't mess with it, you know?
Right, that's right. Well, what I love about what you said, Monica, and that is that how do we get it back? And I think that's one of the reasons why I developed the Hair Radio Show. I saw this 25 years ago in 1995. And ironically, it has the need for what we're still literally covering, the same types of topics that I covered in this is the truth, that I covered in 1995, especially with regards to like natural hair and all of that. So it's just been an interesting thing, the trade shows and all of the folks. But I kind of second what you say. I definitely feel that I wish there were times that could, you know, we could kind of harken back to those golden days, so to speak, in the industry, and everything seems to be just overflowing and flourishing. But I do see a big wave. I call it a black wave happening as we watch television and see all of this wonderful talk about race and ethnicity. And so there might be opportunities for us to kind of, you know, become more supportive and all of that. So we'll have to do our part. That's what I think we've got to do, Monica. I think we've got to do a part. Hey, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a wonderful new addition to our amazing lineup right here with us on the air. Her name is Monica. Now, she is a stylist out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area now, out of Texas. So we're so happy to have you with us, Monica.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Carrie.
Yes. Well, this is just the beginning. So I wanted to turn to some of the talk of what you're planning to do right here on our broadcast. I understand that there's some things that you kind of want to address, and you're going to do it. You're going to use your time to do it right here on our broadcast. So what are some of the things that kind of jump out at you that you might want to share with our listeners? And just give us a little preview today.
Well, one of the things that strikes me first and foremost would be things that I thought about while being on quarantine. And one of those things that jumped out to me was, are you doing hair or doing business? And when I say that, there are some people that were not eligible for a lot of the things that were offered to self-employed or small business entities because they did not have their business in order. So they're just doing hair. They're going in, they're doing the client, they're getting that immediate gratification of hand, of money in hand, and moving along instead of having their business set up to be recognized as an actual business entity. So I thought that was important.
Well, before you go there, that's a plan. What you've just said is a plan, and you really hit it on the head with just the immediate gratification of getting paid. And kind of, it reminds me of back in those days when I would go into the shops, into the salons, largely back in the mid-90s, there were not very many computers there, and if at all. And it was just a cash. Everybody just had cash in and cash out. And,
oh, my God, and we were burning a hole in our hands.
Yes, it was just a very different business. But you're right. There were so many folks out here who could not necessarily take advantage of some of these amazing opportunities that seem to have arisen from this awful, dreadful situation that we find ourselves in terms of quarantine, et cetera. But I have to say, folks like yourself who are out here making a difference and reminding us of this, So, you know, helping folks to just stay focused on business. Don't just do hair, as you were pointing out. You know, you got to do business, and you got to look long term. And this is one of those ways to do it is by participating with the show. So we love this. Now, what else do we have on the list? I guess I'm trying to say.
Client and stylist boundaries.
What is that? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, you tend to, especially, you know, we get a lot of clients that come in and you get that type of friendship rapport with them because of the things that they share with us, the things that we talk about. And some clients tend to take that over the line and not recognize the boundaries of client and professional.
Mm.
That this is still, once again, this is still a business. So love you, sis, but there won't be any hookups. And when you're trying to establish that boundary, sometimes it causes a little tension. And so it does make it an uncomfortable situation a lot of times for the client and the stylist. But if those boundaries are set in the very beginning, once again, reverting back to that first topic, establishing yourself as a business, then there's no need to feel that those boundaries would ever be crossed.
Wow. That says it all to me. I love that at the beginning. See, that's the real key. You can always address things, you know, if you kind of even allude to it at the beginning. Now, you may have to go back later and you might need to, you know, refine it or retool it or whatever. But if you kind of address it, at least it makes it so much easier. And that, again, like you said, it goes back to professionalism. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a little less tense and uncomfortable because I've seen a lot of the younger stylists get uncomfortable when the situation gets out of hand and they're like, well, how do I fix it? And I don't want to lose my client if I say don't, you know.
Exactly.
So,
well, speaking of losing clients, I happen to know, because I took a peek at your list, so I happen to know this already, that, you know, that sometimes the stylist might be afraid that they might lose a client. You know, about pricing, you know, there comes a time that, I want you to talk to this because this is huge right now about prices. A lot of the salons, the stylists have decided to increase their prices, and rightfully so in my book. But what can you say about this whole price increase topic?
You know, I was once that stylist in my younger in my young, the earlier
the young
part of my
Monica,
career.
Okay.
Where I was scared too, and I mean it's a legitimate fear because the clients come in and they're used to coming in and paying a certain price, but nobody once again ever thinks of us as a business, and we have to be able to keep up with what's happening with the rest of the economy. So when the groceries and the gas go up, hey, we need to be able to afford it too. So it gets a little scary. Like, will they leave me because they're so used to? But I think at that particular time, it has to be explained in a way where they can actually empathize with the whole situation. Like, hey, you know, this is a business. This is what I'm going to need to do. And, you know, I really kind of need you to respect it. But right now, like you said, coming off of the quarantine, we've all had to be put in a situation where we're taking less clients, but we're still working the same amount of hours. And so at that particular time, it's like, hey, how do I compensate or how do I get back to what I'm used to making? And I've heard a lot of the stylists feel real uncomfortable with doing price increases. But, you know, you got to kind of just, once again, for me, it's all about being respected as a professional. It's easier to get it accomplished if they respect you and understand that it's a business than it is if it's like, well, hey, girl, I'm just going to go up to $100 today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. So I don't know.
Well, you know how I weigh in on this, and there are so many different things and so many different ways to look at it. But mm-hmm. the biggest thing for me is that right now everybody is sharing in this awful, dreadful nightmare for the world, literally. So it should not be a surprise. If it is a surprise to you that I may need to go up a few, $3 or $4 or $5 or whatever it is to account for your safety and security while you're entrusting me with your hair care, then you need more than I could do just fixing the hair on your head. So,
but you know what, though, Carrie?
Yes.
I'm sorry. But you know,
no,
a
I
lot
love
of,
it. Go ahead.
I've seen some of the women feel like because we were all off that we should be a little more lenient in our pricing as opposed to increasing the prices. Like some of them feel like we should go down in price because
really?
This is our work. Yeah,
now, hold
right.
it, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah, like, well, you know, I haven't been working, so, you know, it's really, not, yeah.
You mean they feel that you should boundaries. Actually be going down on your prices where you,
yeah.
oh, my.
That whole hookup mentality, there goes again, friendship, deals, and boundaries. Like,
oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Well, that doesn't
yeah.
sound like it'll go over too well. That's going to hit like a thump on the floor. I can't imagine. Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
I'm
like, why are you charging me this much? You weren't charging this before. Like, okay.
Oh, my. Well, you know, that's awful. I can only say that's awful because I look at it that, you know, we've had all these amazing folks on our show. And so I get a close-up, you know, view and great education and information. I remember where we had Nurse Leslie, who is the actual ED. She's the educational director for Barbasol, right here on our broadcast. And she walked everybody through everything that they need to be doing. And this was at the height of the pandemic. And you guys, I have the podcast out there. It's on Spotify and across my podcast platforms. You can just Google Carrie Hines podcast and all that will come up. But with Nurse Leslie and so many others. But the thing that really shocked me is that, and not just with them, but all of the extra expenses that I found associated with reopening. And then if that's not enough, having much less clients and having to space people out, and even those businesses who relied on the walk-ins for a big percentage or a big bulk of their business, they had to look for other options. So to me, it's like if you want this salon or barbershop or whatever to be in your community, then this is a part of supporting them. And, you know, I'm blown away because I look at these folks who provide the hair care as almost as these first type of responders, in my opinion, because they're out there, many of them, yes, their shops were largely closed during the height, but in some states, they were allowed to remain open to service those who were working through the pandemic.
Right,
so
right.
I just, you know, to me and to see, it was very jarring initially for me to see the stylists and barbers. You have to understand, you know, to see everybody looking like they're going in to do surgery. That's how it looked to me. I'm sure I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I was just, you know, it's a different day. It's a different day.
It is.
And,
it is.
You know, so I just want to officially salute you and all the professionals in the industry. We love you guys. We are true advocates for the industry. This is a platform that will promote the entire industry. We just don't hold the needle over to one type of hair or one type of this or one type of that. It's all inclusive. We welcome everybody to the broadcast for the Hair Radio Morning Show. So speaking of welcoming to the broadcast, we're happy to have you with us.
I'm
we really are. We're just excited. Yes. So, folks, we've been chatting.
I'm pumped up.
Yes, well, let me tell you, Monica. Monica is with us, everybody. You're just bringing up just a ball of energy, to all of this, and there's so many amazing topics. I'm just blown away that you are with us, and we've got you right here. So, Monica, now, what about down the road? What would you like to see happen in the industry? What's your next move? We know you're coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're gonna just turn it out here. But what else would you like to see out there happen for Miss Monica?
For Miss Monica, my future plans in the industry. For the most part, like I said, my whole thing right now that's big to me and close to my heart is being able to help these women with hair loss. I want to be able to educate as many stylists and barbers as I can so that we can kind of get ahead of this. I want to be able to get a center open because, for the most part, you mentioned earlier, it's harder for us African-American women and men to find someone to service them with those particular issues. If you look around, it doesn't really we're not marketed to, I'll put it that way. So it's harder to find us. So I want to make sure that I get it out there as much as I can, and I want to get as many stylists and barbers connected to maybe even do our own group in different cities to be able to address that particular issue.
Well, I can actually piggyback on what you've just said, and we love that here, Monica. The good news is that we've already started on that path and on that road right here on our show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a gentleman that we're going to make sure that you are turned and tuned into, Cade. He does a program called Mr. Trichology. Right now it's on Thursday mornings here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to invite you to participate with that and just really help to address the needs of this community. I think that you guys would be a great team. So we're going to definitely make the connection and introduction. And I just have to say, you're on the right path. You are on the right path, Ms. Monica.
Yes.
Now, let me just say this. Is there anybody that you would like to just shout out to this morning?
Yeah, I would. I'd love to say, hey, Ma. My mother's in Byron, Mississippi, and, you know, she's one of my biggest supporters. Then my son. Yeah, my son, he's in Vegas. He's probably runner-up next to my mom. And then my brother, he's in Indiana. So we're all over the place. I just want to say, hey, you guys, and, you know, I love you. And there's my shout-out.
Well, I'm loving it. You guys, this has been a wonderful interview, and we're just so excited to have you on, to be included now in the lineup here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've been chatting with Monica out of the Dallas area this morning. Okay, Monica, I want to, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
All right. Well, folks, I just want to say thank you so very much. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
Has your trip to the local hair store left you down? Same old hair with little selection and outrageous prices? Well, you need to check out TracyBeautySupply.com. This is an online beauty store specializing in all types of hair. There are different lengths, different colors, different styles, and you can basically live out your hair fantasy through this site. TracyBeautySupply.com is devoted to helping every woman's dream of the perfect hairstyle come true by providing the highest quality of virgin human hair. Want a new look? We'll help you find a new color. We'll help you find it. You can't get it, we got it. And we can deliver it to you because we can deliver everywhere. TracyBeautySupply.com, where hair fantasies come true.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to a very, very special episode this morning of the Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have coming to the line right now the man behind the amazing and wildly successful broadcast,
the Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is none other than Michael Hopkins himself. Good morning and happy Veterans Day celebration, honor episode, and all that good stuff. Michael Hopkins, good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you this morning? And thank you.
Oh, well, doing great, and you're welcome. I just want to say, and while we're on thank yous, Michael, it's probably a great time to just, you know, thank all of the amazing veterans who have just been supporting your show, supporting Vet Talk Radio Show. They've been tuned in every week. They're all lined up listening right now to you, you know, on the air and to us and what we're doing. So it is my honor to put together a very special two-hour broadcast today, right now, of Vet Talk Radio Show. So we're here until 9 o'clock Eastern. That's 8 o'clock Central Time. And I'll be with you guys. We have the host with the most, Mr. Michael. Michael Hopkins, what would you like to say to everybody this morning?
Well, It is all about the vets, Carrie. That's all. It's on my heart. It's all about the vets. And I want to thank each and every one of them for coming out for the team today, for showing up. It's a very special time for us as veterans, Veterans Day, because of the sacrifices that we did and we continue to do. And I'm just looking forward to today. I've been looking forward to it for the last few weeks, and I've been just thinking about it. And I just want to do the veterans right. And I also want to thank you and your fans for your continued support. Because without your fans also, and your constant helping us and just guiding us, and it is just, it's a humbling experience, and it's a great experience.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. And it just reminds me, every time you guys are on, we usually play like one of my, it's like the antithesis of that talk radio show. We throw on like one of my, do you have hair on your head? Would you like to buy our shampoo and all that? And I have to say, it's because of these folks. These are the folks who are supporting and helping to put together this whole project for the veterans. So we respect and we've had guests who are very much in the hair and beauty realm who all happen to be veterans. And a lot of this has been revealed to us since your broadcast. So I tip my hat off to you. And I wanted to make sure that you guys had the best episode possible. And also, while I have the mic for just 5 seconds, I know that there are a lot of folks tuned in right now who, let's give everybody some time today if they have something to share. We had a whole lot of things mapped out and kind of planned to the T, and we'll get a whole bunch of that on. But I also think this is about the vets, as you say, Michael. You say it every week. And you're absolutely right. So let's make this about the vets. Let the vets speak today. And that's what I call this episode, Letting the Vets Speak, Honoring Our Heroes. And I think it doesn't get much better than that. So thank you. And you mentioned for the work I'm doing. Michael, we thank you for the work you've done and that you continue to do. And while we're at the thank yous, we can't do this, and you couldn't do this without the amazing team that you have, Nicole, Noor, and, of course, Katrina. So I just want to thank them as well for helping to produce your show behind the scenes. And I'm always bringing them out in front of the mic to also be featured on the broadcast, because it takes a whole lot to do this and to day and be part of all of our production meetings and planning things and data entry stuff and just coordinating all of this. And I just wanted to say a personal thanks, and we're going to get them on because I wanted to do a segment with you, Michael, and with your permission, that allowed us to get to know everybody. And this is the perfect episode to do that. So we're going to have an extended time to get to know. So get ready.
Nicole and Katrina and Nurjan, we're going to have a segment called Getting to Know You Guys, and this is what we're going to be doing. So the vets are going to talk today, we've got the producers talking, and we've got none other than Michael Hopkins kind of pulling it all together. So Michael Hopkins, Veterans Day, let's go ahead and lead off with that. Why is Veterans Day so important? Can you tell us a little bit about why Veterans Day is so important? And let me just begin unofficially with, folks get so mixed up between the holidays that support our veterans, you know, between, what do we have? We have Veterans Day and
right.
We have
Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day and Veterans Day. I think everybody seems to get them mixed up. So I'm going to go to the horse's mouth. Mr. Michael, what can you tell us about Veterans Day?
Well, basically, Karen, Veterans Day started back in 1918, and that was World War I. And basically what happened was this. On the 11th hour of the 11th month, on the 11th day, an armistice, or in other words, a peace settlement ending the stagnated the war. The war was ended.
Yes.
It was trench warfare, back and forth, all that good stuff. But the powers that be, as they call them, the Axis powers, and you got the Allies. So, of course, America, England, the usual, we were the Allies, and Germany was the Axis power.
Right.
And the treaty was signed. And basically, that's what started this, Armistice Day. And it was thought of as a day of honoring those soldiers, those military people that were in harm's way that fought during the war. That was the basis of Veterans Day. It was originally called Armistice Day.
That's how Veterans Day got started.
Now, believe it or not, if it's okay if I just add a little something to it.
Absolutely.
That most people don't know. During World War II, Adolf Hitler, when he did the surrender of France, they used the same train car that they used during World War I to sign the treaty with the French. It was the exact same train car. It was a coach type train car. And a lot of people don't know that. And that came from when Germany was defeated during World War I, Adolf Hitler was a corporal in the German army. And after that, it left such a mark on him, and as he rose to power, and then he did the Blitzkrieg and all of that.
Well, we are definitely familiar with his sort
of but you know, and I'll talk a little bit more about
Germany.
The history of it.
Yes,
but it just intrigued me that history always repeats itself, no matter what it is. And especially, I'm kind of a buff of military history, obviously, because I was in the military. And I just find a lot of these little facts and things are just so fascinating.
Me too. And the listeners, the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show, I hope, Michael, you can share a lot of these throughout today's broadcast. I think that would be awesome.
Oh, sure.
And
I just learned a fact or two,
so thank you. Listen, I want to take a moment also to acknowledge that, you know, again, today, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, this is a special two-hour broadcast you don't want to miss a minute of. We've got a lot going on today. We're also, Michael, not too long ago, you did a wonderful countdown of, like, the abilities that the claim, you know, on behalf of the veterans, that the claims that are made. And I think that we have that parked away that we'll get on in just a bit as well. And like I said, our wonderful getting to know you folks, you know, with this panel. And then you've got some special guests, I understand. So joining us also in just a couple of minutes is a gentleman I understand who we're going to bring to the line. And his name is Bill Jordan. We're going to get him on. We're going to tell you all about him. And I'm real honored. So Michael Hopkins, the Angels, let's just kind of get them on for a moment or two early just to greet everybody as well on this very special broadcast if we can. Let me see. I think we have Nicole and Nur Jahan. Let me see if we have here. Nur Jahan, are you there this morning? Nicole, are you there?
Good morning.
I'm here.
Yes, Siri.
Good morning.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And I believe Katrina will be joining us in just a bit. But good morning, guys. You're on with us on this very special Veterans Day celebration. It's kind of crazy because it's Veterans Day. It's really to honor the veterans. I call it honoring our heroes. So it's a celebration of sorts, but it is to honor those men and women veterans from all over America who have done so much for us in this great country. So what does it mean for so Michael, I have to say, what does it mean for you guys? Nicole, Noor, what does it mean for you guys?
Well, this is awesome that we're able to have a show like this to honor the vets, because a lot of vets don't get this type of appreciation. And so by us being able to do it on this platform, I'm sure they're going to be very happy to know that we have not forgotten about them.
Wonderful. Michael has picked the greatest producers. Okay, and Nicole, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Yes, like Nora said, this platform is excellent and just wonderful to just honor and recognize the veterans for all of their service, just to honor them and thank them, because we owe them, because without them, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we do have. And I think that
Absolutely. We
take those freedoms for granted. And I think it's just amazing, and this is just a wonderful opportunity to just, thank them and let them know how much we appreciate them. And it's really very personal for me, because I've had so many family members that have served all across the different military services, and still have some serving now. And they mean so much to me, those that I know and those that I don't know, because I truly appreciate them, thing that they do and everything that they've done.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to check back in with you guys with we call Michael's Angels, Katrina, Noor, and Nicole, because it's so important to have these amazing producers who help to put together. We're trying to bring everything out today to honor the veterans, and I think you guys have said it eloquently. So I'm going to park you guys for a bit. Michael Hopkins, what do you say when you hear such wonderful comments about what you're doing on the Vet Talk Radio show?
Well, you know, Kerry, without my three angels, there's a lot of this I just could not do by myself. I just appreciate and I cherish all three of them so much that I always tell them they're the sisters that I never had, because I'm a only child. But the three of us are so linked together, till it is just a humbling experience, and it's a great experience.
Absolutely.
I appreciate all three of them.
Okay. Well, listen, coming up in just a bit, we're going to have more with Michael's Angels and just a little bit, but also we have the top 10 common disabilities. We talked about that. Michael, I'm looking forward to kind of re-airing that, so to speak. It's about 25 minutes or so, and it's just great information. And then, of course, we'll be live on the other side of that. So we've got that. And I wanted to take a moment and actually kind of bring to the line. As I said, this is open. Today is for the veterans, to honor the veterans, and I think taking some of the folks who have called in, who are tuned in right now, and getting them on the air, letting them speak. And I know, Michael, can you tell us a little bit? I understand that you invited Mr. Bill Jordan. Tell us a little bit about Bill Jordan, and then we're going to get him on the line.
Oh, yes, Carrie. Yes, Mr. Jordan, he is what I call, he's, when I went in the military, he's one of the people that I looked up to. And basically, Mr. Jordan, fantastic guy. He is, and I had a brief conversation with him just to tell you how we met. We met on election day, and I had a brief conversation with him, and my conversation
was this past election day, Michael Hopkins?
Right, this past election, right, on the 2nd, on the 2nd of November down here in Virginia. And my conversation with him, it was short, but he was just such a fascinating guy. And he recognized that I was a veteran, just like himself. I didn't know he was a veteran, but he started telling me tidbits of his life story, and we have some things in common. He actually lived in Maryland, like I did, near Andrews Air Force Base, like I did, and that's how our conversation started. But he is just such a fascinating man. He has a history of serving this country that the average person wouldn't have no idea. If he didn't say anything about the things he did, no one would know.
Well, Michael Hopkins, why don't we go ahead and bring him on in, and we're going to let you just, you know, reveal all of this information. Bill Jordan, I'm hoping he's standing by. Mr. Jordan, can you hear us? This is Carrie Hines, and this is the Vet Talk Radio Show. You're on with us live with Michael Hopkins. Are you there, Bill Jordan?
Yes, I am. I can hear you. Can you hear
me? Awesome. Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. Good morning to you, sir, and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning to you and to all your listeners.
Wonderful. Michael, I'll let you take it away. What would you like to tell Bill?
Oh, first of all, Mr. Jordan, I'd just like to thank you for your service. That's my first thing. I just want to thank you for your service, because I know that the time you came through in the military was a different military than it is now. And that's the number one thing I want to do. If it wasn't for the Bill Jordans of the world, the soldiers, the military people that went in when I went in, it sort of reminds me of something that I heard Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, say. How when he went in, he stood up on the shoulders of the military people that went in before him that were African American. And I feel the same way, that when I went in, I stood up on your shoulders as an African American that served in the military. And I just want to thank you. That's what I want to do. And it's a little emotional for me, because I know there's some things that you've had the opportunity to do. And I just want to make this about you right now. Just, Mr. Jordan, if you would just tell us a little bit about you, about Bill Jordan. When did you go into the military?
Actually, I joined the military 3 days after I was 18. I joined the Air Force. I enlisted in the Air Force in 1960, and I served until 1964, enlisted. I was honorably discharged, and then I started in college, And when I was in college, I decided I'd always wanted to be a pilot. So I took the pilot's test for the Army and the Air Force, and I qualified to be a pilot in the Army and the Air Force, and I decided to go in the Air Force. And so I joined the Air Force ROTC at Howard University. And then in 1968, I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the Air Force, and I went to Texas, Lubbock, Texas, Reese Air Force Base, to go to undergraduate pilot training. After I completed undergraduate pilot training, I went to Vietnam, served a year in Vietnam, and then I came back to Reese Air Force Base as a T-37 instructor pilot. And then I was selected by the Air Force to go to the Air Force Institute of Technology to get a graduate degree, and I spent 2 years in the Philippines working in intelligence. After that, I came back and flew aeromedical evacuation C-9s out of Scott. Then I was a commander. And then I went back to flying a C-5 aircraft out of Dover, Delaware. And then after that, I went to the headquarters where I was the chief of the command center at the Air Mobility Command. Then I went to the Pentagon, and then I went on a diplomatic tour to South America, where I ran the Office of Defense Cooperation in the country of Uruguay. I came back to the Joint Warfare Center, and I retired out of the Joint Warfare Center in 1997.
Amazing. Wow.
Now, Mr. Jordan, I mean, that is incredible. That is incredible, the things that you did in your – now, there is one other thing. Yeah, I mean, it really is, considering, you know, the times we were in and so forth. Now, there is one other thing, and I remember this when you and I were talking that day, and I remember this. There was something that you did, and I want you to touch on it. There was something very significant that you did back in 1986. I was still in the military, and can you tell us what you did, that significant thing that you did?
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of background. I was stationed at Dover Air Force Base, and I was asked to be the chairman of the Black History Month Committee. And there happened to be a lady staff sergeant who challenged me. And she wanted to have a big party. And I was opposed to that. I guess I was a little bit conservative. I said I didn't want to have a barbecue party like they used to have for slaves, where you have one weekend of party and then it's over. We needed to do something positive that would educate people about Black history. So she told me, well, you say that, I bet you they won't let an all-Black crew fly a C-5. And I was shocked. I asked her, had there ever been all Black C-5 crew? And she said, no, they've never allowed all Blacks to fly a C-5. At the time, a C-5 aircraft, which was the largest transport in the U.S. military and one of the largest in the world, was considered a national resource.
Yes.
And so she challenged me to asked the wing commander, could we do it? And she said she bet me that he would say no. So I told her I would ask him. And I was a little bit afraid, a little bit nervous about asking the wing commander to do this. But I said, I'm going to ask him. So I asked the wing commander, and the wing commander said, yes, we're going to do that. And he said, you're going to command the flight. And that was a senior officer who I looked up to, the wing commander. His name was, he retired, a four-star general. His name was General Walt Cross. And so he authorized the flight and named me in charge of flying it. So we gathered together a crew, an all-black C-5 crew, and flew a regular mission to commemorate Black History Month and to show that African-Americans play an important role in the everyday performance of the U.S. Air Force. And I never forget it because I was touched. The most memorable part of the flight was when we went to Turkey. There was a young airman who heard that we were coming in, an all-black crew flying a C-5 into Turkey, and he stayed up all day to watch on final to see if we were really going to come there. And he was overwhelmed when we came there. And so they had a little thing for us at Turkey. We were in Stars and Stripes and written up in jet.
And I remember that. And Jordan, I remember that very well because I was still on active duty. And for us as African Americans, that was a big deal. That was because it had never been done before.
Well,
airmen and all of that, but I mean, that was a big deal.
Wow. We had a great crew. I still try to stay in touch with some of the crew members, and it was a great experience. And
that's amazing.
The point that I want to make is that I shouldn't get credit for that, because all I did was fly the airplane and command the crew. The person who authorized that should get credit, and that's General Cross, because he faced a lot of negative feedback.
Sure.
For authorizing that, and people were asking him what was he doing and all of that, but he authorized the flight, and I was very happy about it. It was a very important
event. We all were, sir, because it meant a lot.
Me.
It meant a lot of us, especially being African Americans and wearing the uniform and serving this great country. It showed us that it can be done.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, Michael, but let me just share this. I still think one of the most important people was the lady sergeant who challenged me to do that. And I don't think if she had challenged me to do that I would have ever thought in my mind of doing something like that. And so I take my hat off to her. And I don't know the whole reason she did it, but she did it. She came forward, and she demanded an all-black C-5 crew, and we were able to do it.
Wow. That's history-making.
Wow.
Amazing.
History-making event. And that was in, if I remember correctly, it was in both Jet and Ebony, and I remember Stars and Stripes. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I seem to remember that article was in Jet and Ebony magazine.
I know it was in Jet. I still have a copy of the Jet that it was in, and I have a copy of the Stars and Stripes that it was in, but I don't have one of the Ebony. I was thankful for the crew members. We had a superb crew, and I was thankful that the lady said what she said to me. they won't let you fly an all-black C-5 crew.
I'm speechless, Mr. Jordan, just absolutely speechless on hearing this. What an amazing, amazing story. I'm so grateful that you're taking the time to share with the Vet Talk Radio Show folks and the fans and folks out there, and just blown away. And as Michael mentioned at the top of this, a special thank you to all of us at all of our broadcasts and what we're doing, because I think you epitomize so very much of the contribution of veterans and folks, especially folks in our community, and what their contribution has been to this country. And so thank you. Well, and you have so much humility with it. Like, you know, I'd be out there, I've done this and I've done that. But that's not apparently who you are. So that's nice. Very nice. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I look at what I did was I served my country, even though my country didn't do everything right by me or people like me. We still served it. You know, one of the things of history that I think about is that in the Civil War, they had 23 African Americans who won the Medal of Honor. But you had none in World War One, and you only had a couple in World War Two, and they didn't get that initially. It was years after that they were finally recognized.
Wow.
I've always been I've always thought that service means you are not selfish, but you're selfless. So it's you do it, and you do it in a selfless manner. And I always thought that I just heard Colin Powell. During Colin Powell's funeral, they remarked that he said, never ask anybody to do something that you haven't done. And I always thought that was something that I believed in, because my father taught me, never ask anybody to do something that you haven't done or you're not willing to do.
Exactly.
And that's what I tried to live by, and
exactly.
I think that having been enlisted, I never forgot what it was like to be an airman basic. And so I always tried to be very protective of those who served. I mean, people don't get up. One of the things I believe is guys don't get up at 4:30 in the morning, get cleaned up, go eat breakfast, to come to work to do bad. They come to work to do good. So if something is going wrong, it's my job to remove the obstacle from them doing good. That's the way I try to live as a leader in the Air Force, in the military. And when I left, I believed that once you leave, you're no longer in it. You're a civilian.
Wow.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yes. And Michael, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Well, Mr. Jordan, how are you going to spend your Veterans Day? What are your thoughts?
Well, normally on Veterans Day, I call guys I serve with. I still stay in touch with some of the guys that I serve with. Some of the guys that I call warriors, because one of the things I did in the military was I was one of the early people in race relations in the Air Force. So I was worked in equal opportunity. And so I stay in touch with some of the people who fought to try to change things in the military with me. I also stay in touch with some of the guys who flew in Vietnam with me. Many times on Veterans Day, if I haven't gone on Memorial Day to Arlington National Cemetery, I'll go to Arlington National Cemetery and place flowers on the graves of my relatives who are buried there. And that's about it.
Wow.
Wow.
Like you, Michael Hopkins, I'm just deeply moved by your commentary this morning, I have to say. Mr. Bill Jordan, just amazing. And I don't even just hearing this, and for us who, the folks who are listening to the show and our regular listeners out there and all these folks, these are the stories that we want to hear. And just having that leadership, and I love what you said. Absolutely, you didn't ask folks to do. You were taught that, and that's something that I can certainly echo. As a leader, that's the number one sign. You don't ask folks to do what you can't do, won't do, or know how to do. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this morning. Thank you for being on this broadcast, and we wish you a very special veterans this year. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Oh. And Michael, did you want to say anything in closing?
Once again,
Jordan.
Sir, my right hand is up to you. I'm saluting you, Colonel. Thank you for your service. And as I said before, if it wasn't for someone like you that served in the military before I did, I would not understand the things that you're talking about right now. And I'm just so appreciative. There's so many of us out here that, as Carrie Hines just said, we need to hear these stories. And I'm going to make it
absolutely
my business to put these stories out so that the younger military people that are coming through will understand and appreciate the sacrifices that your generation did to make it a better military. It's all about the soldiers. It's all about the airmen, all about the Navy, all about the Marine Corps, but it's all about the veterans.
Well, wow.
Let me just share one more thing with you, Michael and Carrie. My parents had five sons. We didn't have any daughters, and we served in the Army, Navy, and Air Force.
Wow.
We didn't have any Marines, but all five of us served in the military, and I was very proud of that.
Wow.
But more importantly, we stood on the shoulders of giants. One of the people that I was most inspired to meet was a guy named Fred Cherry, Colonel Fred Cherry, who spent almost as much time as a POW as John McCain.
Right. I remember him. Didn't he lead the choir in Hanoi, Hanoi Hilton?
Yeah. What happened was he was shot down and injured his shoulder, and the North Vietnamese tried to get him to say statements against his country, and he wouldn't do it. And he had a very rough time as a POW. And when he came back to the States, people didn't want to recognize him, and finally they recognized him. And I think one of the moments that was most emotional for me after they gave Colonel Cherry a hard time about some personal issues that he had and didn't want to recognize the sacrifice he made was to walk down the hall of the Pentagon toward the Secretary of Air Force's office and see a big painting of Colonel Fred Cherry just as you got to the Secretary of Air Force's office. He was a tremendous man. He was one of the giants that inspired me. Colonel Charlie McGee, Colonel Hannibal Cox, General William Earl Brown. There's so many guys that I looked up to. General Tim Boddy, Colonel Cato Reeves. You meet these guys and you look up to them. Lieutenant General Peterson of the Marine Corps that you meet these guys when they're majors and captains and you're inspired by them and you try to do the things that try to replicate what they did. So I stood on the shoulders of giants and I was honored to serve my country. The real thing is I'd do it all again.
Wow. Yeah. That's how we all feel once we put that uniform on. It doesn't matter. We're serving our country. We would all gladly do it again.
Wow. Well, I'm just, again, for the folks who are just tuning in, there are folks who are just joining us on this broadcast, and I have to say, Michael Hopkins, I'm Kerry Hines. We have a very, very special guest, Mr. Bill Jordan, joining us on his background. Air Force just doing amazing things, really creating history in the process. And I think this is going to be something that stays with us and that folks will be retelling this each Veterans Day. And so I'm grateful to you. Thank you again for taking the time to get up early and be with us on the broadcast. So thank you, sir. All right.
Thank you so much,
yes,
Colonel.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. So, Mr. Bill Jordan, is there anything you want to just close out with? Anybody you want to just, any closing thoughts that you have that you want to share?
No, I just want to say be blessed, enjoy Veterans Day, and it wasn't by accident that I met you, Michael Hopkins.
Sir, it was not by accident.
Wow.
It was.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It was destined to happen. Keep up the work that you're doing, and my heart goes out to all the veterans. Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Wow.
And I'm out.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you so much. Will do.
All right. Thank you again. And please enjoy the rest of the broadcast. Bill Jordan, everybody. Mr. Bill Jordan, legendary. And what can we say? The military. Michael Hopkins, I have to say you are just bringing it with the Vet Talk Radio Show. Let me just bring everybody up to speed. This is a special two-hour broadcast today of Vet Talk Radio Show. It's actually your broadcast number 14. So we are so super excited to have this special two-hour episode with Michael Hopkins and the Angels and all of that. And coming up next, now, Michael, we're going to bring the Angels back, but first, a broadcast or two ago, you came on and you did a whole countdown of claims of most common types of claim ailments, if you will. You'll explain it a lot better than I do in a more articulate fashion. But so I want to get that on for everybody, and then we'll be back live. We'll bring up the Angels. We have a lot more to get to. But, Michael, I have to just say, I'm taking off my little hat and doing a little salute.
to Mr. Bill Jordan. I'm just blown away. Such incredible recount of history, of making history.
Oh, yes.
Good eye.
Yes.
Thank you.
It was just so. I had no idea when I met Bill Jordan that day. And like he said about Fred Cherry, a lot of the other names, I've read about a lot of these guys. And I've had the opportunity to, because I was in the military, even National Guard, Reserves, I worked Department of Defense as a contractor. I used to go into Pentagon. And a lot of the things he's talking about, I used to see a lot of these things. When I went in the Pentagon, and it just brings things full circle for me to meet somebody like a Bill Jordan that was there. He was there during the height of the Vietnam War, when not only were we fighting in Vietnam, you know, we're fighting here in this country. And you talking to somebody, and he's such a humble. He's such a humble guy, too, Kerry. I mean, that blows me away. He's a walking history book. And we can't lose people like him and not record their story.
Well, Michael, you have done just that today. And let this be the beginning. You mentioned earlier about capturing these stories and sharing these stories. Well, it starts here. It starts with the Veteran Talk Radio Show. And I'm so honored to be just called in to help you pull it all together. And so we're going to talk a little bit more. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. And I'm so hyped because you also, like this gentleman, maybe not quite, this gentleman's a legendary in his own way, Mr. Bill Jordan. But you also had a chance to chat with some other folks. You chatted with about three other folks in the last week or so, all about this upcoming Veterans Day show, the special broadcast today. Why don't we get that on, and then we'll roll on into what's next. But why don't we get that on? We'll talk on the other side of it. Stay with everybody. Folks, stay right here. Keep on listening. We got a lot more of that talk radio show to go this morning with Michael Hopkins. Okay, so Michael, this is your folks. You had on Teresa, Willie, and Melvin.
Just want you to share your thoughts, your feelings about Veterans Day, and how you're going to spend your time on Veterans Day. Teresa, let's start with you. How are you going to spend your time, and what are your thoughts about Veterans Day?
Well, I'm going to pretty much spend my time, maybe go out and get some free food, coffee, et cetera, what a lot of the restaurants are offering. What I feel about Veterans Day, I think it's a good thing that they're doing to recognize the veterans, all the, everybody that have served their country. And and being recognized of having to serve your country. So I just think Veterans Day is a good day for, you know, not just veterans from the military, period.
Thank you so much. And what about you, Melvin? What are you going to do on Veterans Day, and what are your thoughts and feelings about Veterans Day?
Well, for me, I believe that veterans are unseen heroes, and one day is really not enough for the sacrifices that many veterans have given up. And so what I want to do is recognize our brothers and sisters out there, our brothers and sisters in arms, because you already kind of know we have some campaigns for that. And I just want to honor them and let them know that, you know what I'm saying, that we see you. We know who you are. I've been there with you. And I want you to know that you are a hero. And so I just want to recognize those veterans on that day and just be out with the veterans.
Fantastic. And what exactly are you going to be doing on Veterans Day? How are you going to spend your time?
Well, hopefully I could get around some of my veteran friends. Of course, I'm going to take advantage of some of that free food. Why wouldn't I? And, you know, just, of course, family, too, because my family, you know what I'm saying, they recognize Veterans Day as well. So I'm going to be spending some quality time with the family as well.
Sounds like a plan to me. And what about you, Willie Tubbs? How are you going to spend your Veterans Day? And what about your thoughts about Veterans Day?
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be on this platform. For Veterans Day, I served in the military for 13 years, and Veterans Day means so much to me because really it became my father figure of teaching and learning about life. I didn't have my father growing up, so a lot of things that I learned in the military, it changed everything. So for Veterans Day, it's very important. It's very important that everyone is recognized in Veterans Day. Why? This is the reason. I speak in acronyms. I am a motivational speaker. And veterans, my acronym for veteran is valuable experts that earn respect and national spotlight. Let me say that again, veteran. Valuable experts that earn respect and national spotlight. And like I said, I love veterans. I love helping them because of what they have done to sacrifice. And what I'm going to be doing on that day, it's funny that we're having this conversation. I received a phone call today that I've been called to speak at the school, MacArthur High in Lawton, Oklahoma, to speak to children, no, to high schoolers, to let them know the importance of veterans. And to give them some principles so they could become better versions of themselves by learning what I went through the military and how it can impact their lives and how they can go to another dimension in their living.
Hi, how y'all doing? This is Alexander Young calling all the way from Oak Grove, Kentucky. And I just want to give a good shout-out to Michael Hopkins for being a former veteran and also putting a thing together for veterans and reaching out to help them. God bless you.
Oh, wow, Michael Hopkins. All right, we're back live, everybody. It is Tuesday. It's November 9th. This is a special episode of Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Michael Hopkins, what can I say? You have chatted with just about everybody, and we have quite a few of these little wonderful clips from folks who have chimed in honor of Veterans Day and to be with you throughout this broadcast. So we'll get a lot of that on. But it's nice to listen to all of this, Michael Hopkins. What do you have to say?
Wow, you know, Carrie, man, it really is. And, you know, I'm just, wow. You know, these guys are veterans just like me. And it just deeply honors me to hear from them, to know that they put a uniform on just like I did. They served just like I served. It didn't matter the branch, what we did in the military, because all jobs in the military are important.
That's right.
A lot of times
you
see the high-speed, low-drag stuff, and people gravitate to that, and they think that's what the military is all about. Well, you see, if you didn't have anybody that could serve the troops food, you wouldn't have a military. As the old adage goes, the military travels on its stomach, and you have to have food. You have to have logistics. You have to have all of this stuff. So every job in the military is so important. Every job.
Well, I'm loving this today, I have to tell you. Really good stuff. And that shout-out was from Alexander Young, and I think we have a brief interview with him as well. We'll get that on as well in the next half hour. I want to just go ahead and quickly, Michael, I want to turn to some of this amazing. You have a wonderful group of folks standing by that we're going to get on right after this countdown that you did. So we're going to get the wonderful Michael's Angels, who've done so much to put together these veteran talk radio programs that we've aired over the last 13 or so weeks, 14 weeks now, I guess. And I just want to say thank you, as you have done, by getting them on and letting folks get to know who they are. Now, for you listeners out there, the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show who are tuned in right now live on this Tuesday morning, we want to take a moment to let you know, if you would like to say something on air, this is your chance. So it doesn't have to be an extraordinary tale of, you know, heroics, but just to wish everybody well on this upcoming Veterans Day, and just to say thank you again. This is what it's all about, as Michael has said. I think it's all about the vets, and I think that's the best tagline you could have. So if you would like to share your story in part, press number 1 if you've dialed in on our 516 number, and we'll see if we can get you on the air. So, Michael, how's that? Is that not nice?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay. Well, that would be absolutely awesome. In the meanwhile, Michael, do you remember this top 10 common disability countdown that we did that you were the author of? You're the father of this. A couple weeks back, and I just loved it so much and wanted to share it on this broadcast. So it's about 25 minutes or so. It's not too long. We'll be back live on the other side of it, and we've got a lot more to go. And when we do come back, we're getting the angels on, so you guys will get a whole bunch of live talk on that. So stand by. But, Michael, do you remember this top 10 common disabilities we did?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do, Carrie. I remember it very well.
Well, listen, there's a test after this play, so folks, we'll get this on. Stay with us. There's a whole lot more of this Veterans Day. The word celebration never seems right, but I guess it does. It's still appropriate. We're honoring our heroes on the Vet Talk Radio Show, so thank you so much. And let's take a listen back at your top 10 list, Michael. We'll be back live on the other side. Stay with us. What is the 10th most common disability that we can talk about today, Michael Hopkins?
Okay. The 10th most common disability is limitation of motion of the arm. And I know that sounds like some big fancy thing.
Right,
but
right.
But basically, as a veteran, you have issues with your arms. You have motion issues. In other words, you can't reach like you used to. You can't stretch out. You can't pick up things like you used to. There's a limitation on what you can and cannot do with your arms anymore. And it happens to us as veterans all the time. You know, Carrie, we fall as veterans. We go on details. We lift up things, heavy packages, heavy equipment. We carry heavy equipment. We do all kinds of things that damages our bodies, especially our arms. And we have shoulder issues. A lot of times guys are airborne qualified. That means they jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a whole bunch of combat gear on, and they hit the ground. And can you imagine what that is like? You jump out of an airplane, you have all this equipment, and you're heading toward the earth. And when you hit the ground, you kind of tuck and roll, and it takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your shoulders. It just takes a toll. And you may not see this as a veteran when you're 18 years old, 25 years old, 30 years old. You may not see all of this stuff. But when you start hitting your late 40s, your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, to see and feel all of these things, And the VA claim system understands this. They understand this. And they know these things are going to affect you. They already
well, Michael,
know it.
I want to kind of keep it so that you can get all of these in. What's number nine?
Okay. Number nine, Karen, believe it or not, is a very simple one. It's not a complicated one. Migraine.
Okay.
It's migraine. Not complicated, man. It's just migraines.
We can all relate to that.
We all can relate to those migraine headaches. And a lot of people think, wow, why would a veteran have migraine headaches? I mean, they don't
right.
constitute anything. But you know what, Gary? Believe it or not, sometimes many of us as veterans actually enter military service with migraines. A lot of people
don't right?
know that.
Wow.
But a lot of us as veterans actually enter military service, and we already suffer from migraine headaches. We already suffer
wow.
from that.
It's
debilitating. They're severe,
wow.
as most people know, and the migraine headaches, believe it or not, can either be a primary thing, as I just said. You go in with it.
Wow.
Or it
who would have thought?
While you're in, yeah, nobody would never think that. They would never think
no.
that military people have these issues. But we do. A lot of people,
wow.
they go in with migraine headaches, or they develop as you're in with the military service. See, a lot of us are subjected to loud noises, explosions, IEDs, and IED is an improvised explosive device. We hear about it all the time, and a lot of civilians don't know. And that's one of the things that can affect you as a veteran. There's another thing called a TBI, or traumatic brain injury. A lot of us as veterans, especially a lot of combat veterans, are from traumatic brain injuries. Why? Because of explosions. And it rattles your brain. Sometimes we'll be driving over something in a combat zone, and all of a sudden, boom, there's an explosion. The vehicle goes up in the air. It comes crashing down. And we're all shaking around inside of this vehicle, and our heads get hit, and things happen. The next thing you know, some of us are unconscious. They're dragging us out. And then it happens. TBI is
kind of like hidden explosives. So
right.
you have
That's
no idea
what it is. You're clueless.
Yeah.
A lot of times us as
wow.
veterans, we're creatures of habit. And we might
right.
see, and just for a quick example, we might see an Aquafina water bottle laying on the ground. Well, here in America, that's not an issue. We'll see it. We'll walk around it. We might even step on it and keep on going. Well, unfortunately, when you're in a combat zone, that is not a good idea because it could be packed with some C4 as an explosive, or any other type of explosive. You go to pick it up, touch it, sometime they're radio detonated, and boom.
Wow.
That's what happens with headaches. And then one more thing that's so important. The headaches, it's called prostrating or prostrating. It's an extent, how long does it last? And that's what the VA looks at. Does it last an hour, 2 hours, a half hour? Does it last for 2 or 3 days? Do you have these headaches daily, weekly, 5 or 6 a month? They look at this, and this is what is going to determine your disability. It will
wow.
determine it. And
well, I want folks to write
way.
This down. Yes, my goodness. I hope everybody's taking
yeah.
notes out there.
Michael,
very important.
Yes, I see. My goodness. So let's move along to number 8. What can you tell us?
Okay, Carrie. Number 8 is another one that has limitation of motion, but this time it's your ankles or your ankle or your ankles with limitation of motion. A lot of us as veterans suffer from ankle issues. We suffer from that. Reason being,
well, let's talk about that for a moment. Are you talking about ankles? I've never heard of ankle issues. Can you tell us a little bit more about that ankle issue? Wow.
Oh, sure.
How does that happen?
I will give you, Carrie. I'll give you a perfect example. I have bilateral ankle issues that I'm service connected for, and basically, what happened when I was in the service, I twisted my ankle. I hurt my ankle.
Wow.
Normal everyday duties, and it happens to a lot of us as veterans, just doing normal things, and we don't wear sneakers or shoes like everyday people, like civilians do. We wear combat boots because that's the nature of the game. And back years and years ago, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know this, the boots weren't the greatest.
Oh, my.
They didn't have the support that a lot of the equipment has now. You know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, they were just mass-produced boots. So just because it said it was a certain size didn't necessarily mean it was really that size. So
imagine
what havoc that does on your feet and on your ankles. And then, you know, you're jumping off a vehicle. Right, right. And, you know, Carrie, you're jumping off of vehicles. It used to be back in the 50s, 60s, and the 70s, we would actually run in our combat boots for our physical training, for our tests to test the stamina. We would actually run in these crappy boots. So then they would wonder why people have feet issues. We would have leather boots. You know, they would be made out of certain material. They're mass-produced. And that's what would happen. And you got people that jump out of airplanes, helicopters. We rappel off of buildings. We rappel off of the mountainside. You know, we march. You know, we have forced marches sometimes. And as I said, we do the physical training. All of these factors have a lot to do with ankle injuries. And people
make a note of that. That is just interesting to me. It really is. It's something I want to think more about. What do you have at number 7 today?
Number 7 is paralysis of the sciatic nerve. And people say, well,
paralysis of the sciatic nerve. Isn't that in your back?
Yes, it is. The sciatic nerve is like the biggest nerve you have in your back. And people say, well, Mr. Hopkins, how could that happen? Military people. Well, crazy as it may seem, we carry rucksacks, we call them, or backpacks, as you civilians would call them. But ours aren't stuffed lightly. Ours are stuffed with a lot of equipment, a lot of the essential things that we need to survive on a modern battlefield. We carry a lot of stuff. We work on details. We do all kinds of things that include our back. It's physical training. We do all of these different things. And, you know, Carrie, unfortunately and regrettably, it takes a toll on the average military person's lower back. It takes a toll on it. So
I can think is that sounds like pain that'll never go away.
Oh, trust me, it doesn't. I have it, and trust me, it doesn't go away. It causes all kinds of stress, mental and physical stress to a person. And like I said, it happens. Years can go by, and you don't feel anything, and all of a sudden it hits you. And with that sciatic nerve, just to give you a good idea what happens, your nerve is being pinched. By a bone in your back, basically. And it hurts. Trust me, it hurts. I have that issue. And trust me,
Michael, I mean, you have the top so far. You have gotten down to like number six coming up next. I'm just blown away at these on the list, and you have quite a few of them. My goodness!
Oh yeah,
this is
news
to me. Wow. Well, I have to say, and the listeners, I'm concerned about the fans out there. Must be facing this kind of thing. So I'm hoping we have enough time today to get them on as well so we can hear from some of the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show, to hear some of them and let them chime on in with any of these that they're facing in the way of the top 10 disabilities. Michael, what's next? Well, I think we're up to number six.
Oh, yes. Yes, what's next, Carrie? Here's another one that veterans suffer from. Lumbar and cervical strains all night.
Okay, well, we know lumbar
day.
Is back.
that's that lower back.
Yeah.
And, a lot of us are just suffering from it all night and all day. And cervical with your neck. And once again, you know, the average civilian will say, well, how did that hurt their neck? Easily, all the stuff we carry. Me personally, I fell off a balance beam back in 1983 and hit my neck, and my neck has never been the same after that. Look how long that's been, and my neck developed rightish. I'm at the point now because of the arthritis, because of my cervical strain, that is starting to give me headaches, and it's also causing ringing in my ear. So one thing can lead to another thing. And it happens to us as veterans all the time. Those little slips, falls, accidents, training accidents, for real things that happen when you're out there in a combat zone. And, you know, it's the mission. And then years later, we find out we have all of these issues. Neck and back issues are just so prevalent with military people. And the thing of it is,
well, Michael, yes, go ahead, and then I want to jump on in with this.
You know, the thing about neck, it doesn't matter what branch you're in. Does not matter with the branches of the military. Air Force example, you could be working on a plane and fall off a plane and have lumbar and cervical issues. Navy, you could be out on patrol in a ship and you could hit a bulkhead or one of the heavy doors. I've had guys, they've hit a heavy door during rough seas, and now they got cervical issues. Now they got back issues. So it's not just if you're a combat vet, or you're some kind of like infantry where you're hard, what we call it hardcore, you're out there just blowing and going. No, you could be in supply. You could be a supply person and fall off a ladder and hurt your
back. Michael, I just want to say it sounds like you are, it's like you could just be a walking, ticking time bomb to, you know, having some kind of injury. Number five. Now, this is something I was surprised because a lot of us in the civilian world, we face number five. Can you tell us what number five is all about?
Right. Number five is limitation of flexion of the knee.
The knee. We can relate to knee trouble.
Yes, we can. In other words, you can't bend your knee but so far back towards your thigh. You try to bend your leg and you're in excruciating pain. And once again, where does that come from? Us as military people, the training that we do, the equipment that we wear, the challenges that we face being in the military. And a lot of military veterans have knee issues. Sometimes your knee issue is caused because you have an ankle issue. And that ankle issue leads to a knee issue. Or you have a hip issue that leads to a knee issue. Or you have a back issue. That what we call it in the military terms, we call it an altered gate. In civilian terms,
altered
what you
gate.
Would call it is you walk with a limp.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right.
This is
right.
true.
And a lot of us have that due to our military service, the things that we face every day. And, you know, Carrie, I didn't mention this, but there have been studies that have been done by the medical community. And basically, as military professionals, we have an accelerated pace, the things that I'm going over right now. We have an accelerated
wow.
pace with this stuff. Our civilian counterparts may not have the same issues that we have at a younger age. There are some guys,
exactly.
young guys in
exactly.
their 30s, Carrie. Can you imagine being in your 30s and you have osteoarthritis?
Right, right. No, I cannot. I cannot. This is news to us out in the regular civilian
right.
world, what you're talking about mm-hmm. today. Michael, I want to move to number four because this is something that I think everybody can chime in on. Number four, tell us what number
right.
four is on your list today
number,
of the top
number four
10
is,
disabilities.
It's scars. Number four is scars. And once again, a lot of civilians, you know, they can relate to having a scar after some type of surgery. But for us as military people, a lot of times this is exacerbated for us because of the job that we do, the dangers that we face. We can have
wow.
we can have scars. We can have surgeries. Like we just talked about knees, issues with knees. A lot of us on active duty have surgery. A lot of us as veterans
yes.
have knee surgeries all night, all day, knee replacements. I know some guys, you know, they're not even 50 years old, and they're getting a knee replacement. I mean, really? A knee replacement?
Amazing.
You know,
amazing.
Not even 50 years old. And then those scars, what the VA does, they look at those scars, and they relate it to pain. And they relate
wow.
it to it also can be a mental health. I had one of my comrades, he was in a car accident in Germany. And what happened with him, he had three distinct scars because his head hit the windshield of his automobile. He spun out on some ice,
ooh.
Had a really terrible accident, and he had scars on his face. And,
oh,
you know, Carrie, a lot of people don't know, a lot of our civilian counterparts don't know, that it can also be a mental health issue for us as veterans?
Well, I actually didn't want to jump ahead to the next one because I was thinking to myself, as you were just describing all of these, I said, my gosh, just, you know, that's enough to just, you know, stay in your mind. You know, when you're, you know, any kind of issue like what you are going down this list, and this is a shocking list to me. It may not be so shocking to the members of the military, but, you know, and folks out there. But I have to tell you, I'm just blown away with this morning. And I appreciate you bringing it to Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael. I'm just still, this is huge for me.
Yeah,
so
thank you. It's mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing, these things. It really is.
Yes. Well, listen, I want to move ahead to your next one. Now, your next one, we kind of played a little bit of a clip about this earlier, but can you tell us what's next on the list?
The next one, number three, is PTSD.
Oh, no,
yes,
PTSD. Right,
PTSD, or better known as post-trauma stress disorder. And this is one that a lot of civilians are familiar with, especially as far as the military world is concerned, PTSD, because wars that we have been in, a lot of veterans suffer from post-trauma. A lot of us suffer from it. No kidding. A lot of it does not have to be wartime related. And a lot of veterans don't know that. A lot of civilians don't know that. There are actually two types of PTSD. There's a PTSD combat that is when you are actually in a combat situation and you have what's known as a stressor, A lot of veterans know what a stressor is, but a lot of civilians don't. Basically, a stressor is an event. It's something that happened to you while you were in that combat situation. Perfect example, you're being fired upon on with the insurgents. The insurgents are, they're lobbing grenades at you. They're throwing mortars at you. In other words, it's a whole bunch of bombs and stuff falling around you.
Now, oh, my God.
The average person starts to thinking that, you know what? I might not make it out of this because these fragmentations.
Well, it seems like if there are bombs and all these things going around and there's nowhere to really, I mean, you're just like in, you're thousands of miles away from home and all that stuff can play on your mind. So is that a little bit of this PTSD? Wow.
Right. Yeah, PTSD can play up on that. You know, as while you're over there in combat, your mama dies.
Mm.
In the middle of combat, you're in the middle of a combat, your mama dies. That also can be PTSD related as far
wow.
as the combat aspect of it. You see one of your buddies get shot in the head and killed. One of your buddies gets kidnapped by the Taliban and is never
and,
seen
and
again.
And folks, just a reminder, if you have small ones around, this is probably a good time to kind of send them out of the room because some of this gets a little heavy, you know, and we want folks to know what we've got to say. So just a reminder, on some of these Vet Talk shows, we're going to go there. So, you know, Tuesdays at 8:30, usher them out. Michael, I have to tell you, PTSD, and that is one of the terms that we do hear on the news quite often. I speak to my veteran family members, and I've heard about it. But the next one, number two on your list, this is something I was shocked about. But can you tell us a little bit on what number two is?
Right. Number two is bilateral hearing loss. In other words, in civilian terms, you can't hear out of your ears, both of them. You have a hearing problem. You got hearing issues. A lot of times, as veterans, it happens to us because of the nature of the duties that we do. A lot of us are around heavy equipment like tanks and APCs. Heavy equipment like that, or we fire large caliber weapons like a 50 caliber machine gun, or we fire artillery, or as we jokingly call it, arty. You firing these shells, and when the gunpowder goes off, it's deafening. Or you fire a tank. You're
oof,
a tanker.
Oof,
and
oof.
It's not pretty when you hear all of this stuff. And back in the day, years and years ago, hearing protection was optional. You know,
optional.
A lot of guys wanted to be, it was optional. Oh, yeah, a lot of us back in those 50s, 60s, 70s, it was optional. And, you know, you
so
were
they
so
may not have
you,
realized how serious
oh, no.
hearing loss
no.
could be.
No, they didn't carry. We didn't
wow.
back then. We didn't. And then by the time the 80s came around, they gave you these little dinky hearing protection,
little
earplugs
to go in your ear. Yeah.
And,
wow.
And instead of, and the sad part about it, those didn't protect you either. Plus, on top of that, you kept using them and they got contaminated by that earwax and other things. So now you have an ear infection. Plus, you can't
oh,
hear.
Oh, my.
And then the
oh
ringing lasts
goodness.
In your ears forever and ever. You're driving big trucks and the whole nine yards. Now, the sad part about it, Carrie, when it comes to hearing in the VA, and most of the guys that are on here can relate to this, the veterans, the VA has this magical thing going on. If they detect that you have some type of hearing loss, you go to the VA hospital and they say, hey, you know, Joe, you have some type of hearing loss. This is what we're going to do for you. We're going to give you some hearing aids, pretty much state-of-the-art hearing aids, maybe worth $2,000 or $3,000 a piece, and that's going to help you out. But it, crazy as it may seem, as soon as you as a veteran go to file for hearing loss, they will deny it.
What?
And you know what they'll say, Carrie? And you know, Carrie Hines, it sounds crazy, but you know what they'll tell
it
you
does.
As a veteran?
What?
This is what they'll say, and a lot of vets can relate to this. They'll say, well, we checked our records, the military records that we have on you is health care when you were active duty, and believe it or not, you didn't complain about you couldn't hear. So, therefore, it's not service.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that
wow.
Special? And
yeah.
If they do
wow.
connect it, Carrie, now, and this is funny, Carrie. Now, if they
well,
do
what
connect
happens
it,
when they say that? Is it that you are kind of out of luck then?
Pretty much. You're pretty much out of luck when it comes to getting
wow.
rated for hearing loss in
right.
The VA. Now, believe it or not, you do get rated for hearing loss. And it is
uh-huh.
possible if it happened in service and it's recorded in your military service treatment record. In other words, your health records. The highest you might get 10%. But we've all been to these hearing tests where the little thing whistles and, you know, it beep, beep. We've all been
right,
to that.
Right, right. Yeah, the audio
with the VA,
testing. Yeah.
With the auditory with the VA, it has to be at a certain level.
Certain,
in other
yeah.
words, if it's not at
certain
a certain hertz level, they're not going to give it to you. Also, it's
wow.
discrimination. You have to go through
so
all
hold it.
This.
I want to make sure I understand this clearly. So you can possibly have hearing loss, but if it's not at a certain level of hearing loss, then you may not qualify for their rating, if you will, for that particular ailment. So that
yep,
is,
so
wow, just mind-blowing all by itself. Michael
yep,
Hopkins,
so
I have to say first, let me just remind everybody, folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Michael Hopkins and his amazing information today. It's his episode number 11 of Vet Talk Radio Show. And I'm Carrie Hines. I'm here to help Michael out with pulling this together. And this is just mind-blowing today in covering what are the 10 most common disabilities. He's counted them down from number 10 to number 2. So, Michael Hopkins, before you give away the number one most, and I know what this is. I peeked at the list. But I've got to tell you folks out there, because you've talked about this on a couple of the episodes of Vet Talk Radio Show. So our sharp-eared listeners of Vet Talk Radio will know what this is already, and many of the others who might be dealing with this will likely know what this is as well. But Michael Hopkins, I have to say, we're not going to hold you guys up with a commercial. I'm going to ask you, Michael Hopkins, I wish I had a drum roll to usher in
drum
what
roll,
number
please.
One. Right, exactly. But go ahead, get away, Michael Hopkins. What is the number one most common disability that veterans face in terms of ratings and what they will allow? Please share that with
oh,
our
yes.
Vet Talk Radio Show fans.
Number one for veterans is tinnitus. And
tinnitus.
Is the perception
yes.
of ringing in your ear
wow.
as a veteran. It could be buzzing,
wow.
humming, loud pitched. It's there. And
so this is,
and,
I just want to be clear, this is like a ringing in your ear that nobody else
right.
will hear. It's not really
right.
anything outside that's externally ringing, like a bell or anything. It's just in your literally in your ears and in your mind,
right.
so to speak, I guess.
Exactly,
wow.
Carrie. It is literally in your ear. You hear it. But believe it or not, Carrie, there are two types
Ooh.
Of tinnitus.
Tinnitus?
And most
really?
People don't even
what
know
are they?
That. Actually, there's really a third type, but the two most prevalent ones are subjective. And only you can hear it. No one else
wow.
can hear it. You can hear it. Objective tinnitus, it's very rare, with objective tinnitus. That means other people can hear the actual ringing in your ear. It actually is auditory, and people can actually hear it. But it's very rare.
Wow.
Usually the ones that most of us as veterans have is the subjective one. And it just comes from head or neck injuries, the TBIs I talked about, explosions.
Right.
You can have a ear injury. There are little hairs inside your ears that can go wrong, bone issues. There's all kinds of issues that a person can have because of tinnitus, because of the nature of the beast. Most of us as military people, we work around a lot of noisy things. We just do, because that's part of the nature of the beast. As I had mentioned before, we drive all kinds of vehicles. We fire all kinds of weapon systems. We're subjected to weapons, to all kinds of offensive weapon systems. I mean, it just happens. And over the years, it gets developed. At first, you don't notice it at first. As a veteran, it may be years that goes by, and all of a sudden you notice you have this distinct ringing, humming, buzzing, et cetera, in your ear. And
wow.
It's just the number one thing. It's only a 10% rating. There is no higher. It doesn't matter if you have it bilaterally, both ears, one ear. It does not matter. The VA is only going to give you a 10% rating for it. Good thing is,
Michael Hopkins, yes, go right ahead. What's the good thing?
I was just going to say the good thing about tinnitus, not it is a good thing, but
like
tinnitus can lead to some secondary items that you can claim as a veteran. And once again, it even goes back to what we talked about before with the migraines. The migraines can be a result of tinnitus. Also,
wow.
Mental health issues can be a result of tinnitus. I just had one of my veteran buddies. I was helping him to understand this, and he suffers from migraine headaches constantly. He suffers from them. Been suffering from them ever since getting out of the military. He was suffering from the migraine headaches, and it was causing him to have mental health issues.
Mm.
So it's the number one thing.
Michael Hopkins, what can I say? You bring it every week. All right. We're back live. You're listening to the all-new Veteran Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Yes, that was Michael's countdown that we aired on Vet Talk Radio Show number 11. So that was a few weeks ago. So I'm bringing back to the line Michael Hopkins. Michael, good morning again. The Vet Talk Veterans Day Special.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
So I want to go ahead and jump in. We're back live. It's Tuesday, November 9th of 2021. This is a special Veterans Day show, celebration. So it's really, you know, Veterans Day is in a couple of days here. So I wanted to say, first, a program note or two. And next week, folks, don't forget to tune in. Of course, Veteran Talk Radio Show is 8:30 on Tuesdays. That's, each Tuesday morning right here when you dial in. So, yes, it's on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, but it's all about the vets, as Michael Hopkins says. So remember to tune in each week, 8:30 on Tuesday, for the regular broadcast. Now, with that being said, I also wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that this Thursday, we're going to try, and thanks, Michael, for the suggestion. Of course, we're going to continue our honoring of the vets on my regular Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. And you guys know that 6 to 9 weekdays right here, the same 516 number that you dialed in. So we'll try to do something in that last hour, okay? So we'll figure all that out. And we'll make some more announcements as we move along. So again, thank you so much. One thing, Michael Hopkins, on Michael, you have some wonderful, wonderful quotes standing that you want to share. And first, I know that you wanted to really, for my benefit, for folks who may not be as aware of what exactly is a veteran. Why don't we just go back a little bit? Why don't you explain all that, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, okay, Carrie. Yeah, that is the question. What is a veteran? A lot of people don't know. And basically, a veteran is a former member of the Armed Forces of the United States who served on active duty and was discharged under conditions which were other than dishonorable. In other words, you got out the military clean slate. You went in, you did your time, you got out. At the bottom of your paperwork that you get when you leave the service, it'll have the big letters on it, honorable. That's what a veteran is, someone that served. And you know, even more technically, you've done over 180 days of active duty service. Just to make it even more technical.
Okay.
All right. Well, awesome.
Well, we salute you right here. Okay, the Vet Talk Radio Show. Michael Hopkins, you have some quotes that you have uncovered, and I heard some. I love them. So please take a moment, share with the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show, and then we're going to work the angels on in.
Okay, I have a quote here from former President Barack Obama. And in a speech, he said, our nation owes a debt to its fallen heroes that we can never fully repay, but we can honor their sacrifice, and we must. Beautiful quote. Beautiful quote. And also, here is former General Douglas MacArthur. And a lot of times we've heard these three words that Douglas MacArthur would always say, duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, and what you will be. And that's what, when you're a veteran, those three things you should know, duty, honor, country.
All right. Well, on that note, it gets no better than that. So I want to go ahead and make sure that we get on your angels. We call them Michael's angels, and that is Nicole, Katrina, and Noor. And let me just make sure we have everybody on. Because this is really, it's a team effort, and I'm just blown away. Let me just make sure we have everybody, let's see, there. So angels, Michael's angels panel, are you guys
good
there?
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. We're here.
Good morning. So this is really about taking a moment to kind of get to know you guys. And, I know who you are. But a lot of the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show, they get in a little snippet here and there on each broadcast. But today we're going to kind of delve in a little bit. So Katrina. Now, Katrina, you are out of Paris, Texas. And take a moment, please, to tell everybody a little bit. First of all, where is Paris, Texas? Where are you near? And, you know, what big cities or what have you? And then also tell us a little bit about yourself, something we don't know that we might be surprised to find out about Katrina out in Paris, Texas. Katrina.
Okay. Paris, Texas, which is in East Texas, which is basically 6 hours from Houston, because everybody knows the big city of Houston. No more than I am 105 miles from Dallas. So I'm closer to Dallas than I am Houston.
All right.
And it's further and closer to the Oklahoma border and Arkansas border if you keep going further east.
Lovely. All right. So now tell us something that we don't know. What brought you to radio? What brought you to the show? Katrina.
Well, first when I brought you to radio was when my brother, Michael, come to me and was like telling us about what he loved, which is veterans. Well, I have family that have been in the service who done retired since even when my dad was in there, who have now passed on. But me, by me always being around elders, I love hearing history and things that people like go through, because I like to sit and listen, and I also like to learn. But with me, what I like, what I do, don't nobody do. I'm more of a community activist. I stay involved with my community, with any and everything. Like right now, I also, I'm on the, we're United Way through Homeless Coalition, but I'm also on the advocacy of the Youth Homeless Coalition, because that's my passion, to get out there and help the homeless to be able to get somewhere to live and establish. No more than you might see a lot of veterans that could also be in that same predicament. So my wife Michael come to me with it.
Yeah.
And like, wow.
Well, let me tell you, Katrina, first of all, thank you for what you're doing out there and your advocacy work. I think it's absolutely awesome. And we're going to have to find out a little bit more about this as we move along as well. I want to bring Nicole into the conversation. Nicole,
yes,
I have to say, it's a pleasure. You know, we get a little snippet of you each week as well here on the broadcast. But now you are out of Water Valley, Mississippi. What can you tell us about what, you know, we love to see that. Now, what brings you to the show, and what do you want to add to that? And thank you, Katrina. What? Very good.
Well, just like Katrina, Brother Michael is what brought me to the radio, him discussing what he wanted to do and his vision for the show, and he graciously asked me to be a part of it with the other angels, and I just had to be a part of it. I couldn't say no. So I'm new to radio, but I love it. I've learned so much, and it's just been a pleasure being a part of this project.
Awesome. Awesome. What can I say? You said it all there. Nur Jahan. So, Nur, I want to just make sure to bring you on, and please tell everybody. Now, you are out of Clarksville, Tennessee. And I have to always ask you this. Now, Clarksville, is that near Nashville?
It's 45 minutes away from Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And so we're right on the border of Kentucky, over here by the Fort Campbell, Kentucky Army Base.
Wow. Well, again, welcome. So, you know, we welcome you to this broadcast. As you know, you're one of Michael's angels. And what can you say when you've heard all of this, you've been part of this since the beginning, what do you say to Michael, to all of us, to the fans, to everybody? What your contribution has meant to you?
Well, the same thing with Nicole and Katrina, how it all happened with Michael, you know, inviting me to be a part of it, because all three of us, we just mesh well, you know, in the organization that we were in. And out of all the people there, we were just so close to Michael. Like you said, we're like sisters that he's never had, because he's an only child. And so when he told us that this is something that he was introduced to, and he asked me if I want to be a part of it, I couldn't say no, because we were already doing other things. And this was just something huge, because I'm a military brat. You know, I've been around military all my life. And so when he said it was all about the veterans, you know, it was something that I just could not turn around or turn down, because it's just, it's helped so many people, and it's also helped me to learn more about my family, you know, because vets, they don't talk to civilians usually. They'll just keep it inside what's going on with them. And I'm learning more about what's going on with my sister, my son, you know, my stepdad, all of that stuff, because they won't tell me. And now I'm able to understand the reason why that they don't share. So I'm glad that we have this platform so that vets can have a way to share what they go through.
Yes. And Nur Jahan, I think you said that best. Thank you very much. I totally agree. 1,000,000%. Michael Hopkins, you've done something big. Now, all of the folks, we've got a lot of folks listening right now. If you would like to say something, press 1 on the phone right now, and that'll be our indication on this end that you have, that we have someone standing by who might want to comment. If you want to give a shout out or have a special comment, this is a great time to press 1 on your phone line. Now, Michael, I want to also get this on. You did a special couple minutes with Larry Hilton recently. So I want to go ahead and get that on, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be back live on the other side. It's only a couple minutes. Stay with us. You tuning into the Vet Talk, I consider you to be one of our top listeners of the Vet Talk radio show. But what can you tell us this morning?
Well, I would say that it's probably just bringing people together and learning about the benefits that's available to veterans that have served. And I think it's just unbelievable how many benefits are there, not just for them, but for their families too.
Mm.
So that's been family, a couple of
yeah.
things.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So,
no, I like what you said. Yeah. So the what stands out to me is that you said the veterans, but also the family. So these are benefits that extend to the family members, is what you're saying.
There are some, yes. When you reach a certain point of percentage of your benefits, for my wife, I have her on what they call CHAMP VA. It's the civilian health medical program. And actually, they told me that she's going to have better insurance than I have. Kind of funny.
Wow. But,
that's just one of the things. But there's
amazing.
Other things, too. School.
Absolutely.
And different things.
Well, I've got to bring the chief man in himself, Michael Hopkins. This is your territory, Michael Hopkins. What do you say when you hear things like that?
Well, you know, Kara, it makes me feel good because I'm having such an impact on other veterans. And it just, it's all about the vets. Like I always say, it's all about the vets. Doesn't matter what era we served, what we did. It doesn't matter. What matters is this. We all rose our right hand. We said we were going to defend and support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and bearing true allegiance to the flag, all that good stuff. We all did that with the promise of once we're done with our military service, there are benefits that are there for us, and all we have to do is ask for the benefits. And that's all we've been doing. Veterans
awesome.
Do. We ask for our benefits.
Asking for the benefits. Okay. I'm Kerry Hines. It has been just an awesome, awesome Veteran Talk radio show special, Veterans Day Vet Talk radio show, I should say. Michael Hopkins, it's been a great broadcast. Now, that I do want to add a quick comment on. Larry Hilton, that was wonderful. He was really commenting about all those the things that you, the top 10 claims list that you did earlier on this broadcast. And I just wanted to say that that's out there on the internet. So you can Google that. It's across 9 or 10 platforms. The Vet Talk radio show is getting huge and big and big, big, big by the day. So Michael Hopkins, we are saluting you this morning, sir. On throughout the Hair Radio Network and all that we do here. So thank you. Good job. Michael Hopkins. Very good job.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So you've been doing just some awesome work. Want to remind folks out there that we are going to be back. You guys, even my show, just so that you know, I have a 3-hour broadcast coming up, which is a year in special. It's a look back at 2021. So I just wanted to go ahead and get that out. Michael, what can your fans of Vet Talk Radio Show look forward to in weeks to come?
Well, we're going to have a special on Pearl Harbor Day. We're looking at Thanksgiving Day special.
And
those are the things that we're looking forward to. Just to salute the veterans from those eras too, because there's so many veterans out there that, especially Pearl Harbor, because a lot of those veterans are in their 90s, some of them are 100
right.
years old or so, and we just want to honor and salute them for what they did. That was the greatest generation. Those people served during World War II.
Absolutely. Well, you just really, you're not forgetting anybody. And so, you know, I love throughout today's broadcast, this was the fastest 2 hours in the history of broadcasting for me. But
yeah.
What I love is that you ask, well, it went fast. You always ask individual one question, and that common theme today was, what are your plans for Veterans Day? So I'm going to turn the tables on Michael Hopkins, my co-star on this broadcast. Michael Hopkins, the official host of the talk radio show, what are you planning to do on Veterans Day?
Well, Carrie, on Veterans Day, I'm going to do what I always do. I spend the time with my lovely wife, Miss Venna D. Hopkins, the love of my life.
We're going to give her a shout-out this morning.
I spend every Veterans Day with her, ever since being in the military and getting out. Every Veterans Day, we spend it together. And we just reflect on things and how we've grown together. And that's my Veterans Day.
Well, I think that is absolutely awesome. Now, I want to say, Michael, my broadcast, the Hair Radio Morning Show, which airs weekdays from 6 to 9 Eastern Time, right here on the same 516 dial number, I want to say that on Thursday, we will be doing a special little comment. You know, we're going to continue to support the veterans throughout our broadcasting for the week. So we invite you to tune in, and you'll be able to, hopefully, Michael, we'll have you back, and we can get you and some of the angels on to share. And I just want to thank you again for all that you've done, and all the soldiers, everybody, all the veterans out there. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from all of us at the Vet Talk Radio Show and the Hair Radio Broadcast Networks. Michael, I'm going to go ahead and get your outro for the Vet Talk Radio Show started. We'll see you back here next Tuesday, 8:30 Eastern, for the next edition of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Michael, last words.
It's all about the vets.
All right. Here you go, folks.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.